Welcome to the Dairy Brothers Guardians Cast, your best podcast spot for all things Cleveland Guardians baseball. Presented by WaitingForNextYear.com. Follow Matt on Twitter at Dairy Speaks and Todd at TD Guardians KU. The Dairy Brothers Guardians Cast is on the air.
Pretty darn good road trip for the fellas. Dairy Brothers Guardians Cast back with you on a Monday, June the 5th. Monday morning for Matt and Todd with you on the Evergreen Podcast Network, WaitingForNextYear.com, wherever you get your podcasts. Here we are, Guardians go into Baltimore, take 2 out of 3, split a 4-game series with the Twins. Big series coming up here with the Red Sox at home and the Astros, and Cleveland finds itself just 3.5 games back of the Twins. Todd, this was kind of a wild weekend. Thursday through Sunday, Thursday's game was gift-wrapped for the Twins. Really, Cleveland could have won all 4 in this series, end up splitting it, but you'll take a 4-3 road trip. And again, bats heating up a little bit better than what we saw a couple weeks earlier, you know?
I do. First off, before we get into it, if the sound sounds different today, we're having some microphone issues on my end. So I know my microphone's been sounding great. If I sound a little, different today, it's because my microphone wasn't working.
Rule number one: never tell the audience. Just go.
Listen, I'm a very upfront person. I like people to know the truth.
I think you sound great.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. You always
need to get some sleep.
I'll tell you what. It would this week. You know, they took 2 of 3 in Baltimore, which Baltimore is a very, very good team. And I was very impressed by that. Even in the loss on Tuesday night, they battled back. They were getting killed. They battled back into it.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you start off the Thursday and Friday 4-game set with Minnesota on the road. Very important. And just 2 gut-wrenching, soul-crushing defeats. But to their credit, and to, you know, they just figure out a way to battle back. Every time you think that they're done or it's low or whatever it might be, they just find a way. And winning Saturday and Sunday was, I don't want to call must-win games here in June because that's ridiculous, but for an overall sticking in it, don't letting the Twins run away, winning Saturday and Sunday were just of the utmost importance, and I'm glad that they did it, obviously. We have lots of things to discuss, lots of concerns, lots of question marks, but I don't know. Where do you want to start? What do you think?
Well, I mean, just a general, like you said, overview. I mean, to be able to win Saturday and Sunday and gain the split and only be 3.5 back, and I'm sorry, this team has caught no breaks all year. They really haven't. They hit a ball hard, it's right at somebody. The other team drops a blooper in and it scores 2. You know, they've had some bad luck all year. They've had guys struggle when they're pitching, you know, the 10-9 game, they finally score some runs and then everybody, the bullpen implodes. There's just been a lot of tough breaks all year. To get the Orioles without Cedric Mullins and a few other guys out was a break. This weekend, in one game, Kepler goes out, Correa goes out, Buxton goes out. Yesterday, Underwood on the TV broadcast basically said the Twins had no backup players other than Vasquez, the catcher. Like, so they had no, because all these guys were injured. Garlic got hurt and Kirilov's hurt. It's like, wow, it's finally happening to somebody else. And yeah, the game got close again, but all in all, it was nice to catch a little bit of a break. And the other thing too is, you know, Andrés Giménez is hot and he's back. And like, what a boost to this offense. I mean, I know they only scored 2 runs yesterday, and as the executive producer pointed out, only 3 hits, but you know, Andrés played a little wall ball yesterday, and without that, we're probably in extra innings, probably still playing.
He's 11 for his last 28 in the last week, drove in 5 runs. Only struck out twice, which is good. I saw a tweet yesterday, and I don't remember who it was to give credit to, but it was a side-by-side of his at-bats earlier this year compared to this weekend and the Baltimore series. And it's like he's now moved his hands back to where they were before. His hands were bad, and they were coming out in front too far. Now he's got his hands back. The swing looks more like last year's swing. And what's interesting is he's hitting better against lefties than he is against righties. We talked about this last week. But again, they brought in Caleb Thielbar.
That chump.
who pitches every single time we ever play them for the last 20 years, it feels like. And Andres got him. It was beautiful. Getting him back, you know, they didn't have Josh Bell this weekend because his wife had a baby. Andres hit fourth and fifth all weekend.
I know.
And it seemed like it was pretty good for him. I mean, yes, they only had three hits yesterday. Joe Ryan was great. And I think they did us a huge favor when they went out to talk to him after a two-out walk in the seventh inning. He hadn't done one single thing wrong and kind of got rattled. And then we took advantage. But Andres being back and being the guy he was last year is so, so crucial to this offense, especially with the way everyone else is hitting, not named Josh Naylor and Jose Ramirez for the most part.
Well, even Jose struggling a little bit. I think he came to the game yesterday, like one for his last 19. He didn't have a great series against the Twins. He obviously scored the first run of the game yesterday, like you said, after that walk and Naylor delivered. By the way, we're brought to you by the Center for Advanced Dentistry, Groove Ride, and a Breaking Tee t-shirts at BreakingTee.com/dairy. Class A closes out both games, both wins, back-to-back days. Now a day off today, which is good. Bring on Class A.
Yeah, you know what? We should talk about this. Manny now leads the all of baseball in appearances.
Oh, yeah.
I believe he
pitches in every win.
He does. He has 19 saves and we have 27 wins.
It's crazy.
It comes back to, once again, every game is close. I mean, save for, let's just look at this week. You know, you had 5-0 was Monday. That was fine. But everything else was 8-5, 12-8, and he pitched 7-6. 1-0. The whole Twin series was 7-6, 1-0, 4-2, and 2-1.
And he would have pitched Thursday if, or maybe he wouldn't have because he pitched Wednesday.
No, he did pitch Thursday. He did pitch Thursday.
What's that?
He pitched Thursday, and remember he got the inning. They were up by four. It just wasn't a save.
No, he pitched Wednesday against Baltimore. He didn't pitch Thursday.
Oh, sorry, that's what
Thursday.
I meant
Stefan
Wednesday.
Blew the game. Right.
Sorry.
He would have pitched Thursday.
I meant Wednesday. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but he would have pitched Thursday if Stefan had not blown it. That's what I meant.
Even if you go back to the St. Louis series, all three of those games were one-run games. I've never seen a team play this many close games in this short of a span. I mean, God forbid they'd win 10-0 or even lose 10-0.
I know.
You know. I mean, give these guys a break. Listen, we love Class A. The good news is he's starting to miss bats again.
He is.
He did look much better this weekend. I saw a stat also yesterday. He had more swings and misses in one inning than Joe Ryan had in his seven. So that's good. But Class A is going to burn out by September if he pitches. If he continues down this path, he's going to be burnt out by September. And it's not just him. I mean, Stefan is insanely, you know, overused, and even 99 is somewhat overused. And, you know, every time you look up, it's these same guys. It's Big Sam is fresher, but he's just coming off an injury. And the thing is the rotation right now is as good as it's been. These guys are pitching deep into games.
Yeah,
That every single time it's a close game and you're going to need your key guys to close it out.
The other thing too is, and this week they're facing Boston and Houston. Like I said, I mean, those are two very good offenses. So, you know, to sit here and go, oh yeah, we're going to get some laughers coming up. Schedule's not getting any easier. I mean, I know San Diego's coming up and they've really had a bad year for them, but they could wake up anytime and really, you know, start raking. So, you never know, but this is just how this team plays. It's how they played last year.
Yeah, but I don't remember it being this extreme last year. I do feel like, well, obviously because the offense wasn't this bad, but the next 2 weeks are very crucial because you've got four good baseball teams in Boston, Houston, San Diego, and Arizona. And that's a tough stretch. I mean, I don't think if you're not paying attention, you probably don't even know, but Arizona
first place
team right now. Yeah.
Yeah, they're good.
Great ball. They have one of the best prospects in the game, one of the best rookies in the game, in Corbin Carroll. That's a good team. So this is going to be, you know, the good news is the rotation is in great shape right now. You know, you're lined up starting, you know, tomorrow, basically in order with Bieber, Bybee, Savali, Allen, and McKenzie. How good? Let's talk about Tristan yesterday, Deez. How good did he look in his five innings?
I mean, 10 strikeouts? Come on.
It's unbelievable. I mean, what a beast.
It was the real ace, as you texted.
That's what I said. That's the real ace. Ooh, let me honestly, everyone's healthy right now, fully healthy.
Yeah.
Who are you starting in game one, Bieber or McKenzie?
Let's just get there. But yeah, I mean, the way McKenzie pitched yesterday, yes, it was like he hadn't missed anything. You know, he was Johnny on the spot.
He looked fantastic. 10 strikeouts in five innings. I mean, come on.
But again, let's be fair. The Twins lineup yesterday was trash. Like, so I'm not saying, well, let's see him do it against Buxton or Correa. But still, he had to take advantage, and he did. I mean, he missed a ton of bats. He, the full arsenal, art of pitching.
I knew that was coming next.
He was phenomenal. And you love to see the rhythm that he was in. And I'll say this too. Fellas are playing cleaner ball lately. I'm not seeing guys missing cutoff men. Arias has been fantastic defensively. The play yesterday.
That scoop he made at first base, he had to lean back. Huge play. Yeah.
You know,
it's also not a coincidence that the shortstop play was better this weekend when someone didn't play Saturday and Sunday.
Well, apparently he's got knee soreness.
I think an IL stint may have to happen.
Yeah. I mean, look, Tyler Freeman didn't come in and go 3-for-4 every game, but it's nice to see some line drives. You know, when we saw the lineup, was it Saturday and it had, or Friday? And it had Freeman hitting second and Rocchio. It was Friday. Second and Rocchio hitting sixth. I was like, I've died and gone to heaven. It's phenomenal. So, I mean, I don't know where they're going to play all these guys and what the plan is. It doesn't seem like they've had a plan. The plan's always been Ahmed again. But you're right. I mean, right now, I mean, even Friday, first and second, two outs, Gallagher spot in the order, one-run game. I mean, pinch hits Ahmed instead of Arias. I'm like, why is he hitting him here? You know, whiffs, looks at a strike, and then pops out. Like
weak pop out. I mean, story of business season. I mean, to me, it's pretty simple. When and if you trade Shane Bieber, you package Ahmed in that deal and send them both off.
Yes. I mean, I think that, you know, and I was on this weekend on the fan with Garrett Bush on Saturday, and he asked what a Bieber trade would look like. And I brought up Nolan Gorman, and I just said, look, the Cardinals starting pitching is a mess. They need Shane Bieber if they want to. I mean, heck, they just got swept by the Buccos.
How about those Buccos, huh?
Pittsburgh and Bednar, baby, team D's, although we keep losing. But Bednar is like a save machine for them. They just swept St. Louis. This is Pittsburgh that's ahead of them in the standings. So I don't know if the Cardinals would part with Gorman, former first-round pick, team control for another 6 years. He's like their top prospect. He's finally playing. He's got 13 or 14 home runs. I know they have the other kid, the big kid that they just brought up.
Jordan Walker. Yeah.
What's that?
Jordan Walker.
No, the first baseman. Right-handed hitting power bat. Hold on.
Luis Medina? That was a joke.
Jesus Aguilar? No.
Andy Marte?
Lucan Baker. Remember the name Lucan Baker, because that could be a part of a Shane Bieber trade too. If the Cardinals, he's a guy that's been blocked by Goldschmidt, but he's a right-handed bat. They just brought him up yesterday. He had two hits in his first game. He's 26, but he's probably ready for the big leagues.
Are the do the Cardinals need a shortstop with no range?
And tries to hit home runs every at bat. I don't know. Cardinals have like all the same guy, Tommy Edman and Brandon Donovan. They're all the same.
Does that sound familiar to you?
Yes,
Gabriel Arias and Tyler Freeman and Brian Rocchio and, you know, the 800 middle infielders that we have.
We could use some power, and that's why we won. I mean, to be quite honest, yesterday Jimenez and Naylor, even though they were wall scrapers, they weren't home runs, still hit the ball deep and drove runs in. The night before, I mean, Kwan with the insurance run with the solo,
yeah,
huge. Brennan's home run. I mean, you know, we're down 2-1 to Sonny Gray in that game. That's maybe the biggest hit of the season, Brennan's home run.
I didn't know at the time. I mean, I found out, but that was the first home run Sonny Gray gave up all year.
How about that?
You know who told me that, by the way?
Who?
Jeremy Bilski's dad at the grocery store yesterday.
Oh, shout you made a Heinen's run?
Jeff. What's that?
You made a Heinen's run?
Remember when I was texting you about all the people that I saw at Heinen's?
Yeah.
Throw Jeremy's parents into the mix because I saw them too.
Really?
The nicest people in the world. Anyway.
You scare your soul at Heinen's?
No names, please. Yeah. So in the meantime, this offense with Will Brennan kicking it up in right field has also it's also huge. His last couple, he's looked a lot better in these last couple
weeks.
And you said it, credit to Tito for riding it out with him. I mean, not that he had a choice, but he has let him play through some of his mistakes, and Will has come through a lot. I mean, that home run was monster. But
biggest hit of the season. And the credit to cousin Steve out in Colorado, who's told me he chastised me for not being patient with our young players. And it's like, well, you know, but Brennan hadn't hit the ball hard in weeks. Now all of a sudden, you're right. Since Baltimore, outside of his bad defensive game, I mean,
that was bad. Yeah,
he's been really good. And you're right. You've got to ride the hot hands here. I know that Arias, you're trying to get him some time as much as you can. Josh Bell of the paternity listing, so Arias played. Josh Bell outside of that little golfed bloop single on Thursday. In that big inning against Lopez, hasn't really done much. You got to somehow keep Arias in there. We want to play Freeman, but you got to ride the hot hands right now. And with a lot of righties coming up this week, I think you're going to see a lot of Will Brennan this week too, which is fine by me. He's been good.
Yeah. Listen, you got to keep it going with him. Arias is the other option to play in right field, and you'll play him against, you know, left-handed pitching. It'll be fine, but I think Arias needs to get more, you know, in there regularly, rotate him around. You know, I we've talked about the Freeman situation and keeping him around, and giving him more at bats. But, you know, again, I hate to be a broken record, but I'm not saying he's a savior, but look down at AAA again. Bo Naylor is on fire. Like, You remember 2 years ago, I think it was 2 years ago, when Owen Miller first came up and he was on that ridiculous hot streak and they kept him down. Then he cooled off. Then they brought him down and he wasn't good when he came up. Do you remember that?
Yeah. You talk about .320 batting average in Milwaukee, Owen Miller.
You mean second baseman of the month, according to MLB.com last month, which is unbelievable.
He's 2 for 4 every day.
But he's got 24 extra base hits and a .907 OPS within 53 games in AAA. Like, the guy's ready. And you know what else? He leads all Guardians minor leaguers in walks. So it's not like he's striking out a ton and he's up there. He doesn't have a good eye. He's patient. And honestly, if it were me, the guy I'd DFA is not Cam Gallagher. I'd DFA Zunino. He's a waste. He strikes out 90% of the time, seemingly. His defense is terrible. And Gallagher at least is good at handling the staff. I can handle him once a week if he's the backup. I'd rather have him as the backup than Zunino. I'd rather have a defensive backup than Swag Daddy, you know. Wouldn't you? I mean,
is this organization really going to DFA a guy they're paying $6 million? Paying him not to play?
Yeah.
I don't. They did it with I'm not seeing that yet. I think
you remember they did it with Eddie Rosario a few years ago when they basically traded him.
Eddie Rosario. I turned on the Braves game the other day and Eddie Rosario hit a home run and they're like, that's his second of the day. I'm like, where was that here?
He hit a walk off a grand slam in the ninth inning yesterday in Arizona.
Amazing.
To take the lead. Yeah.
We just can't get any luck with outfielders. No matter if they're homegrown or guys we pick up,
can we bring Bo up already? Like,
well,
seriously.
Here's the thing. I've never heard this before. So yesterday, Bo Naylor hits his home run, and the executive producer sends us the Columbus Clippers tweet with the highlight. When they play on the road, you get the road team announcers. So it was the Iowa Cubs play-by-play guy, and I have no idea who that is. He makes the call, the Naylor home run, and he's like, that ball's gone. He's like, Bo Naylor. And he goes, send him to Cleveland. He's like, we don't want to see him anymore. He destroys the Iowa Cubs. I've never heard another announcer say that about an opposite player on the team. an opposing team, send him up already? Like, you got the road announcers calling for Bo Naylor to go to the majors. Like, what else is it going to take? But you're right, Todd. I mean, he's on fire. He hits lefties. He hits righties. He gets on base. We need offense. He's right there. And the catchers, you know, even yesterday, some of the Gallagher at bats, and you're right, Gallagher catches a really good game. He frames some nice ones on McKenzie. In the ninth inning yesterday, Class A slider was in the dirt all three times against Castro. And all three times, Gallagher blocked it, which saved a run. It would have tied the game. So you got to give defense some you got to give it, you know, it's due. But my goodness, I mean, how many two outs and Gallagher's up with runners on? You just know, weak pop up, strike out. Bo Naylor's a threat. So you just wonder if they're just really concerned with his defense still and if he can handle it. But my goodness.
But come on.
How much more can he do at the plate? Nothing. There's not much more left.
What? Sandy can't develop him here at the major league level? I mean, give me a break. Just bring him up already. By the way, play-by-play announcer for the Iowa Cubs, Alex Cohen. Got to be member of the tribe, baby.
Well, he did a good job because he was totally standing for Bo Naylor to come to Cleveland.
I've never heard he's related to Doug's annoying friend Seth. You remember him? the guy you threw ice at in Las Vegas.
don't start with that. Don't. Is he like a Seth Rogen lookalike a little
bit?
It's
radio. Yes, it's radio for three right there.
Oh man, that's a good call. Dairy Brothers Guardians Cast. We're brought to you by the Center for Advanced Dentistry, Dr. Ben Hornstein, CFAD.net, best dentist ever. Groove Ride. What is going on over there? I mean, that place is just packed with people. They love you there. And were you teaching this weekend? What went on?
Oh my God. I taught three classes in 2 days. I taught Rock the Bells, which is a 45-second on 10-second off interval class. And then I taught two different deep groove bike boot camps Saturday and Sunday. Your boy is playing hurt. I am like sore. I got a left glute problem. I got a right shoulder problem. But you know what? I fight through for the people. So, you know, it's all good. Come check us out. GrooveRide.com.
You're
right
like
there
a
on
med.
Corner Brainerd and Chagrin, baby.
Oh, yeah. Just go right up the stairs.
On Chagrin Boulevard.
As for Todd, he's there. And Breaking Tea t-shirts, BreakingTea.com/dairy. Had somebody on Twitter ask about the link the other day. Get your Jose Ramirez stuff, the Naylor shirt, Bieber, whatever you like is there at BreakingTea.com/dairy, D-E-R-Y. It takes you right to the Cleveland collection. What'd you think of Savali Friday night?
I liked him. You know what? That's the thing. He actually, before he got hurt, I don't think we even talked about it because he got hurt so fast. He was pitching very well. Came up and did a hell of a job for his first start. Right now, the rotation looks good the way it is.
It does.
We talked about this before. I have faith in all five guys to pitch deep into games and to give your team a chance to win. Logan Allen, awesome again.
Bowed down the Orioles.
Bybee's such a battler. I love everything about his demeanor, just everything about him. I dig. And, you know, Tristan McKenzie's one of my favorites. And obviously, you got Shane Bieber. And then you look down and you got Gavin Williams knocking on the door. You got Joey Cantillo knocking on the door. You got depth there. So much so that your boy, Zach Plesac, was DFA'd yesterday.
Oh, my God. How about that? I mean,
talk about a fall.
I mean, he must have just been jaking it down at AAA. I mean, his ERA was over 7. He must not have just been working hard.
I don't think that has anything to do with it. I just think he's not good.
To DFA him, I mean, I know you had to clear a 40-man spot for McKenzie, but that was the move. That surprised me a little bit. But again, you're right. I mean, Quantrill's on the IL. Other guys are coming up.
Well, at least now
I mean, I guess, where was he going to pitch? You know,
exactly. He was he's way down in line. And also, going back to the Cal injury, you know, it's a shoulder problem, and maybe that can explain some of his, you know, his last start in Baltimore. He was rough from the beginning, and maybe that's why. I don't know, but Plesac was, he's just not good. And when you're ninth in line, basically, or, you know, fourth in line, I'm talking, you know, from the AAA standpoint, and you're, you know, he's lost 2 to 3 miles per hour on his already weak fastball. you know, there's not much there. So 40 man spots, drink, are very important. And there wasn't one for him anymore.
No, still a little bit of a surprise because he was a guy that obviously they relied on and was in the rotation for 3 or 4 years. And you figure I'd send him down to AAA and he'll turn it around. He never did. It got worse. Like I said, an ERA over 7 down there. And the organization knows that that Williams and Cantillo and some others are ready. And they already have a glut of starters. And Gattis, too. Gattis is ahead of.
Oh, I forgot about Gattis. Yeah.
Gattis is ahead of Plesac. Curry, heck, if you needed a spot start, Curry could go 3-4 innings and you could stretch him back out. So there's plenty of options. This organization has a dearth, a bevy of talent. And I'm sure they tried to trade Plesac, but to not even get a bag of balls for him is pretty surprising.
Speaking of which, I was at the Keston Bat Mitzvah over the weekend.
Oh, there you go.
I was having a conversation with someone who told me that they're one of their business partner or one of their clients or something has a son who pitches for UCLA, and he was drafted in the, I think he was going into the draft or deciding to go into the draft or not. And he's going to be drafted, you know, probably 6th, 7th round ish.
There was one.
Should he go back to school or not? And basically what the dad had told him, this is the father of this guy who's got a kid who pitches for UCLA. I don't remember the name, but he said, a lot of it depends on where he gets drafted. He said, if he gets drafted by the Guardians or Tampa in the 6th or 7th round, then he'll go to the one of those teams. If he doesn't, and he gets picked by some team that doesn't have good pitching development, then he's going to go back to UCLA, which I thought was a pretty interesting and cool thing, you know?
Yeah.
Because the pitching factory, man, that speaks volumes right there.
It does. It says a lot about the organization. And look, we can complain about the offense till we're blue in the face, and we've done it all year. I mean, we're still into June and we're talking about the last, you know, bottom ranked offense in so many categories. But what's great about all this is it's still about run prevention. You know, I mean, this team made a run last year in the playoffs because of its pitching. You know, they didn't beat the Rays in those games 7-0 or 7-5. Those were 2-1 games, 3-2 games, 1-0 games.
Yeah, 1-0. Don't forget that.
right. So, yes, we want to see more offense, but you still got to have arms. You still got to pitch. You know, we talked earlier about Pittsburgh and how much better they've been this year. It's because guys like Keller and, you know, Bednar and others, they've got pitching now. Oh, and
Keller's on 10% capacity, baby.
There you go. So, you love how things are lining up now, and these starters are pushing each other. There is a little bit of concern about the usage in the pen. He brought James into that game yesterday. I'm like, oh boy.
And he walked the leadoff man. And I was like, I think I texted you, this fucking bum.
he got out of it. He got out of it.
No, he had a good week.
He did. They need him.
They do. When his curveball, that's the thing. When his curveball he has command of it, he's unhittable. It's just the fact that he doesn't have command of his curveball all the time.
No, you're right. Man, we've hit on, I'm looking at the topic sheet. We hit on a lot today.
We got everything. We get everything we need to. I think so. Yeah.
Good. You know, there's a lot going on, but look, 4-3 trip probably should have been 5-2. I mean, Thursday's game, just, you're right. And it's amazing. I was in such a better mood yesterday. it's amazing how much happier I am after a couple of wins in a row. That Twins team, they're so annoying. Castro's.
Can't stand Rocco.
Couldn't get Michael A. Taylor out all weekend.
Michael K. Taylor, as Tony Cornes used to say, because he used to strike out all the time when he was on the Nationals. Yeah.
I mean, couldn't get him out.
He had 3 hits in that first game.
And a homer.
Yeah.
My goodness. You know?
Yeah.
Twins are bad. How about Buxton? When Buxton got drilled in the ribs by Bybee, I'm like, well, we won't see him the rest of the weekend. And I was right.
Yeah, but he's a chandelier, that guy. Took that was a tough one. It was straight in that rib cage.
No question, but you just know with him, if any little injury happens with Buxton, he's out 10 days.
Yep.
You know, hangnail, 10 days. Head cold, 10 days. Yeah, he's had some bigger injuries, but I just knew he was coming out of that game, you know?
He's a hell of a player, but
he is talented.
Wasn't
as
sad
hell.
To not. I was. I let's put it this way. I wasn't upset when he wasn't in the lineup.
All right, so we got here are the pitching
matchups. I'm
we
going
got,
Tuesday.
Are you?
Sunday, yes.
All right, well, how's our girl Annie doing? How's her boyfriend Dave?
I forgot you got to meet Annie's man.
And Diamond Dave, good guy. All right, so Tuesday night, so we got Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday night, and all night games except for Sunday afternoon. Shane Bieber against James Paxton. Yes, there's a James Paxton sighting.
He's been good for them too.
Not bad. That's Tuesday night with the Red Sox in town. Tanner Bibee on Wednesday against to be determined. So Chris Sale is out on the IL again. Kluber was sent back to the bullpen. So it could be Pavetta, could be Cutter Crawford. They might be bringing up somebody from AAA Worcester. I was doing some research this morning. So we'll see on that. Thursday night, Aaron Civale against Garrett Whitlock. This is the one Whitlock that is still legitimate. And then this weekend, Logan Allen Friday against Christian Javier, who's been the Astros' best pitcher this year. Had so many injuries, Houston, and so many defections. You know, Verlander's gone, and they've had guys get hurt. McKenzie against J.P. France Saturday night, or another righty. And then Sunday, Bieber against the righty Brandon Belak.
Yeah, we don't see oh, my God. What, Hunter Brown. We don't see their stud rookie, Hunter Brown. We miss him, which is good. We'll take it. Or Framber Valdez.
Yeah. But Javier's been pretty good. The Astros, here's the thing. You look at the Houston Astros, you go, man, Altuve was out for a while. No more Verlander. Bunch of guys are out. Somebody else had Tommy John surgery on their staff.
McCullers is injured too.
They've had a bunch of injuries, yet they're still 11 over 500, and they're really good on the road. Houston's like on some big road win streak right now. So will not be easy this week. Boston always seems to, you know, don't pitch to Devers. Just like anybody, right. Let anybody else beat us. And that Verdugo kills us.
Yeah, Verdugo does kill us, and you know I hate him.
Yeah, top of their order is really good, but the rest of it's meh. So if you can get through the top three guys and see what happens. But they're playing better ball. It's been nice. Only 3.5 back. Hey, we're back in second, tied with the unnamed team.
Hey, we'll take it. Hey, this division, again, we talk about it every week.
It's so winnable.
It's like
it is.
If we could play any sort of decent baseball for a night, you know, go on a 7-game winning streak, you'll be in first place.
I know. It's crazy. All right. So that'll do it for us. Anything else?
Yeah, shout out to the Oakland A's for being 12-49, maybe one of the worst teams in baseball history. I was just looking at the standings. They're at a negative 212 run differential. That's
insane.
Horrible. With that
They're playing their way right out of that city. That's what they're doing.
Well, yeah, this is a real life major league Rachel Phelps situation. With that said, they've only scored 6 less runs than the Guardians.
Yeah.
We have scored 212. They've scored 206.
They have more home runs than we do.
You know who else has less runs than we do? The Tigers.
Yeah.
207.
Did you see how they lost Saturday? Have you ever seen that before?
When the umpire got drilled in the face?
I mean, Cisnero literally threw a 97-mile-per-hour fastball, and it hit the umpire right in the face, right in his mouth.
Eric Haas just didn't catch it, and it drilled the – If
right.
you haven't seen it, look it up. It's one of
insane.
The more unbelievable things ever. And it was a walk-off wild pitch off of the
walk-off wild
face.
Pitch off the umpire's mask. Mm-hmm. Like Benetti and Stone were like, what did we just see? And, you know, obviously Haas got crossed up. He was thinking breaking ball in the dirt, and it just went up and he couldn't
Instead,
catch it.
He got a fastball high.
Yeah. The umpire right in the face. Thank goodness he was all right. And then you can even tell, even the White Sox were like celebrating a walk-off, but they didn't know what to do. And the umpire's down on a knee. That was crazy.
One last thing before we go. I'm just looking at the last 10 in the division.
Yeah.
Minnesota 5-5, Cleveland 6-4, Tigers 4-6, White Sox 5-5, Royals 4-6.
Yeah. No, you do one somebody's gonna get hot. Look, the White Sox have it in them. It's not like they're terrible. Hendricks is back.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
That manager's no good.
Yeah, no, that's the other thing.
He's actually worse than La Russa, if that's possible. The genius?
All right. Well, for Todd, Matt, Dairy Brothers Guardians Cast, waitingfornextyear.com, and the Evergreen Podcast Network, we are out of room and out of here, and you can book it.
I'm Ken Harbaugh, host of Warriors in Their Own Words, a podcast that presents the unvarnished, unsanitized truth of what we have asked of those who defend this nation. As a country, we need these stories more than ever. Stories from Americans who have borne the battle, including 30-year-old remastered interviews with veterans from World War I recounting their time in the trenches of Europe, and with veterans from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and from our most recent conflicts in Iraq, Afghanistan, and other battlefields Americans may never have heard of. Hear their stories by listening to Warriors in Their Own Words wherever you find podcasts.